You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Resolve by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible, from the way we worship, to the way we serve, to the way we love one another. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
How many of y'all remember these slangs from back in your day? Made in the shade. Y'all remember saying made in the shade? Far out. Anybody remember saying far out? You see the hands are going up. You just realize I'm in church. I got to tell the truth. Bad. You remember the time when bad became good? Right? Yeah, I was not here, but the word traveled all the way to another continent. Whatever. How many of y'all still say whatever? How about this one, on fleek? Keep your hands ready. Yeah, there you go. Have you noticed that hands are younger looking? Lit. There's some on the front row over here. Fam. How many of y'all say fam? They're not talking about just their family. They're talking about anybody, any group that they're connecting with, their fam. Now, how did you feel when I read some of those slangs in the beginning? How did you feel when you were remembering the day, back in the day, when you said some of those things? You felt a little old. Well, here's another question. How many of y'all didn't have a clue what the last four meant? You fell out of touch. You see, every generation has their own slangs. It's their handprint on the timeline of history. But just because your handprint has passed, it does not mean that your time has passed. And I want you to hear me very carefully that if you are saved, if you are a Christian, your best time is right now. Because God is on your side. All it takes is your resolve to obey God and to walk in His promises. The first message of this weekend, of this new year, is called Resolve. If you have your Bibles with you, you're going to see from the example of a man who was up in age, and yet he had the same resolve that we're talking about today, to walk in the promises of God, to trust God. Joshua chapter 14, starting in verse 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, verse 10, And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then. So now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. Can you hear the resolve in the words of this 85-year-old man? He is going back to the promises of God. He is saying, I remember back then what God promised me, and it's been 45 years, but I want that mountain. What is that mountain in your life? What is that situation? What is that one person you've been praying for? Like Caleb, if you can say today, God, give me that mountain, He will give it to you. How is your resolution? And are you saved? Because if you're not saved, no matter how many resolutions you make, the main problem is still the main problem. The mountain is still there, and the mountain is sin. The mountain is death. And until that mountain is conquered, you cannot move forward. You cannot move past. In today's message, we're going to learn from Caleb how to stay strong and to press on even though the odds are against us. Now to do this, we're going to go back 45 years in Caleb's life when he was only 40 years old. And then in the second half of the message, we're going to fast forward 45 years the present in the scripture where he is 85 years old. So let's back up for a moment. You remember how the children of Israel, they wandered 38 years in the wilderness because they chose to disobey God. God told them to go in and to capture the land, to take over the promised land, and they refused to do it. And God was angry with them, and he said, every one of you is going to die in the wilderness. You will not taste the land filled with milk and honey. You will not go into my promised land. And so, instead of trusting God, they believed the negative report of the 10 spies. Remember, the 12 spies went into the promised land. 10 came with a majority report, and their report was, the land is beautiful. It is exactly how God described, but the people are strong. The cities are fortified. It looks like they're going all the way up into the sky. And was the worst one. There are giants in the land. There is no way. There is no way we're going to ever be able to go in and capture the land. But I want you to hear what the other two spies, which is Joshua and Caleb, said. Caleb says it, Numbers 13, verse 30. He said, he quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Means don't deliberate. Don't think over this. Go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Now the question for us is this. Was Caleb just being overconfident? Was Caleb just being impulsive? I don't think so. You see, Caleb was walking by the promises of God. God had done so many wonderful things, and God was saying, I'm with you. I will not forsake you. Look at how I brought plagues upon Egypt, 10 plagues that completely destroyed the Egyptian pantheon. Then God opened a road for them through the Red Sea and drowned Pharaoh's army. Then God gave them water in the wilderness. They were hungry, so God gave them manna. Imagine walking out of your door and there's a loaf of bread waiting for you every morning. Then God gave them meat. And then suddenly they were attacked by these Amalekites, and God gave them victory over their enemies. I mean, time after time, God was faithful to them, and God was taking care of them. Then he brought them to Mount Sinai, where God revealed himself to them. God showed him his power, his holiness. He gave them his law. He taught them how to build the tabernacle. I mean, what I'm saying to you is, when Caleb said, let's go now, don't wait, let's go now, he was not being impulsive. He was trusting God. He was telling the world that, yes, God is faithful. God is powerful. Trust him. And what is the people's response? Well, they came back and said, they're like giants, and we are like grasshoppers. And they wept and they cried before Moses and Aaron, and they said things like, if only we had died in Egypt. If only we had died in the wilderness. You brought us here to kill us? Our wives and our children? How sad. But they said something even worse. Listen to Numbers chapter 14 and verse 4. So they said to one another, I believe these are the most hateful, the most ungrateful, and the most unfaithful words in the entire Bible. Just my opinion. What did they say? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. I mean, Moses is standing there. This man who gave up his throne, he was next in line to be Pharaoh. This man who was 80 years old when God showed himself in the burning bush, he did not want to come. And yet they said in his face, let's find someone else. Let's pick a leader. These 10 spies said, let's pick a leader and let's go back to slavery. It's better than to go into the promised land. I can only imagine the hurt that Moses must have felt. I can only imagine the hurt that his family must have felt. You see, these 10 spies, they brought down 2.5 million people. Here's the word to you this morning. Do your words build faith in people or do they build fear in people? One of my resolutions in 2019 is to fill the faith bucket of people. It is not to fill your bucket with fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of what's happening in the world, fear of politics, fear of terrorism. There are people, you get around them, immediately they pull out their dipper and they start pouring fear into your bucket. Sometimes I have to say, oh, that's good, we're good. What do? When people get around you, do they take on your spirit, the spirit of criticism, the spirit of resentment, the spirit of discouragement? Or do they walk away going, wow, man, I feel lifted. I feel like I can fly. Now, what's the response of the two faithful spies? Listen to Numbers 14, verse 6. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, what did they do? They tore their clothes. Tearing the clothes was a sign of repentance. They are so terrified by the words of the other 10 spies and the reaction of the people that they're saying, you have no idea. Boys, you're about to get it. And they are repenting for the people. And they plead with them, they beg with them, don't do this. We can take them. Don't listen to these 10 guys. We can go into the land. God has sent time and time again. He has proven himself. He has done miracles. He has fed us. He has protected us. Let's go forward. And listen to what they said in verse 9. Only do not rebel against the Lord. You know what rebellion is? You know what's right, but you're just not going to do it. But you know this is right. I know it's right, but you don't understand my circumstances. I'm just not going to do it. What Caleb told them is that do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Which means the more we face these problems and defeat these enemies, the stronger we're going to get. And then he says, their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. How do you think the people responded? Do you think they responded with, you know what? That makes sense. Joshua and Caleb, they're right. No, that's not what they did. Listen to verse 10. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Here's a question for you. If here's the line, and here stand the 10 spies who are pouring fear in the buckets of God's people, and here stand Joshua and Caleb, where would you have stood? I can tell you where I would have stood, probably on the side of these 10 spies. Now, sometimes people hear these messages and they'll say, you know what, well, that's pretty creative. I love the way you presented this or how you're drawing the application. Folks, I didn't create this application. This has been put into the Word of God to help us. I want you to hear what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:11. He said, now all these things happened to them, to the children of Israel, as examples, and they were written for our admonition. So what happened to them is that they were reenacting the drama of following God. God's people following him and disobeying him and being disciplined for it. So don't look at this as some old stories in the Old Testament. These are real examples to help us live in 2019. Would you have stood with those 10 spies who chose to live in fear? Would you be a fearmonger or a faith builder? So what happens? Well, you know what happened. God cursed that generation. 20 years old and above were to die in the wilderness, but not so for the two spies. Not so for Moses either, but later on he messed up as well. He saw the land, but he could not enter the land. But two men who were faithful to God, who believed God, God said something very powerful. Listen to Numbers 14, verse 24. Especially about Caleb. God said, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him. I love that. Is that how people describe you? Man, he's just a good old boy. He's wonderful, or she's just a great friend. But they are different. And I hope that different is that you don't go along with the world. Caleb has a different spirit, but listen to this. And he has followed me fully. I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. What kind of a spirit do you have in you? Is it a Caleb spirit? That you're not afraid of the crowd? That you don't fear the circumstances? That you're willing to trust God? That you're willing to obey him? Even if you are the minority? Do you have the spirit that obeys God all the way? Or do you pick and choose? Now let's fast forward 45 years. How old is Caleb now? He was 40 years old. How old is he? 85 years old. Listen to what happens. Joshua 14 and verse 10. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years. What do you think Caleb is doing those 45 years? I believe he's keeping a register of all the ones who rebelled, and he's waiting for them to die. He's waiting for them to kick the bucket. I believe he went to every single funeral. And the moment the last one is checked off, he makes a beeline for Joshua. And what does he say? Not words of resentment. Not words of regret. No bitterness. Listen to what he says. These 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. Means he is reflecting on the promises of God. He's remembering the words of God. There are people who live in resentment and regret rather than reflecting and remembering the promises of God. Things happened to you years ago. Somebody said something to you. Somebody did something. And it's very tragic, the things that happen in homes. What do you remember? Caleb comes and he goes up to Joshua. He is not resentful. He is not bitter. Instead, he reflects on the promises of God. He said, Joshua, you know what happened. And you know that I was faithful. And then there are three things that he says, and three lessons we can learn in this next few moments. The first is this: you are never too old to follow God's promises. How old is Caleb? 85 years old. And listen to what he says, verse 11. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. He's saying, when I was a 40-year-old man, I was just as strong. I'm just as strong today as I was back then. Now, sometimes when people come across ages in the Bible, they wrongly assume that people back then lived hundreds of years. That's not true. Before the flood, people lived 900 some years. Methuselah lived about 969. But what happened after the flood? The ages declined significantly. In fact, I want you to listen to this Psalm of Moses. Psalm 90 in verse 10, listen to how Moses says this, or someone who wrote in Moses' name. He says, the days of our lives are 70 years. Means that's the average age, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, or it is soon cut off and we fly away. Which what he's saying is 70 is good. 80 maybe, but we don't live more than that. There's another example in the Bible, a man by the name of Barzillai the Gileadite. He was 80 years old, and the Bible calls him a very aged man. Now, I want to apologize to some of you who are close to that number. My purpose is not to insult you, but the Bible called him a very aged man. And David invited Barzillai to come live with him in Jerusalem. And what is his response? Listen to 2 Samuel 19:34. But Barzillai said to the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am today 80 years old. Can I discern between the good and bad? What he's saying is, king, I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm getting a little senile. It gets worse. Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? I can't even tell what I'm eating these days. And I'll see if this sounds familiar. Can I hear any longer the voice of singing men and singing women? It means my hearing is going out. What he's saying is, I can't hear anymore. I mean, I've lost my hearing. I've lost my sight. I've lost my taste. I think I'm losing my mind. So 80 years of age is considered to be old. And David is 70 and he's called an aged king. The point I'm making here is, when Caleb says, I am 85, folks, he is 85 and he is very, very tired. And yet, what does he say? Give me this mountain. I'm ready to fight. Now, I'm going to kind of step out over here and let me make some of you mad. Why is it that some of you talk about being old? Folks, come on. Age is a number. You say, well, not if you were like me, the things I've been through. Why do we talk about getting old and we like that as if somehow we get points? You don't get any points. People think you can't hear, can't see, you're crazy. Why in the world would you like to take pride in I'm old? Enjoy being young. Amen? What Caleb is saying here should be the heart of every Christian. If you know Christ as your Savior, you should be talking young. Something else. You are never too late to prove God's power. You're never too old to follow God's promises. At 85 years age, he says, I can fight like I fought when I was 40, give me this mountain. But something else, you're never too late to prove God's power. Listen to verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there. Anakim were the giants. I don't have time to go into that direction, but there were giants back then. Verse 12, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me. This is an 85-year-old man saying these words. And I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. It's one thing to say, I want to go into the promised land and claim the inheritance God has for me. It's another thing to say, give me the worst place. Give me the mountain where the giants are living. I want to capture that. Why do you think Caleb did that? For two reasons. Number one, this place is very significant. If you look at the very next verse, verse 13, it gives us a clue. Joshua blessed him and gave, what's the name of that town? Hebron. Now, where do you find Hebron in the Bible? You remember the time when Abraham's servants and Lot's servants were fighting over a pasture, watering holes. And Abraham told Lot, listen, there's no need for us to fight. You pick what you want and I'll go the other way. And Lot looked and saw the green pasture land, which later became Sodom and Gomorrah. He picked that land. What did Abraham pick? He picked Hebron. He dwelt by the oaks of Mamre in Hebron. This man, Caleb, when he says, give me the mountain, I believe he knows the significance of that place. This is the place where Sarah is buried and Jacob is buried. You see, he is walking on a whole different plane. But the second reason I believe he wants that mountain, he wants Hebron, is because he wants to prove that God is faithful. You see, 40 years ago or 45 years ago, when God told them to go into the land and not to fear, they chose fear over faith. 45 years later, Caleb says, I'm going to that place and I'm going to prove to you, I'm going to show you that God is just as powerful. What God said to us 45 years ago, he was not lying. Give me that mountain and I know with God with me, I can win it. You see, Caleb wanted to prove that with God, nothing is too difficult. He had a score to settle, but he was not playing for self. He was playing for God. Sometimes when people make a resolution, they make a resolve, it's something like, well, I'm doing this so I can prove to myself. Have you heard people say that? I'm trying to prove. Well, that's it? That's all? You want to prove to yourself that you are better at this and better at that? Or I'm doing this so I can prove to my family Or what's worse is, so I can prove to my haters. So you're gonna go on a crash course diet and lose all that weight and post pictures for people who didn't like you and still won't? Caleb is not resolving to go out and prove himself or prove to the haters. He is going out to prove that God is God. And he never fails. If today you resolve to prove to yourself or to your enemies or your family or even to your church family, you're playing the wrong game. But here's the last one. You are never too far to find God's grace. What does that mean? Well, let's go back to verse 14 as we finish up. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day. Now, focus on that word, Kenizzite. That's not a Hebrew word. That's not a West Semitic name. Who were the Kenizzites? Now, scholars disagree over this, but the more I've studied, I've come to the conclusion the Kenizzites are the people that we find or that we meet in Genesis chapter 15. In verse 18, God made a covenant with Abraham. And listen to what God said to Abraham. The Lord made a covenant and said, "To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Cadmonites," and the list goes on. The Kenizzites were people who were the original inhabitants of the promised land. But because their sin, their immorality was so bad that God had removed his presence from them, and God gave that land to the children of Israel. Folks, somehow in Caleb's family tree way back, he was a Kenizzite. Now, can you imagine that? When you look at him, he is not a full-blooded Israelite. He is what we will call a person who comes from the other side of the track. Derogatively, we call it, he was mixed breed. Caleb, the 10 spies who were full-blooded Israelites, they rejected God's promise given to their forefather, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And here stands a Kenizzite who is not originally part of God's people, but he is willing to believe God. He said, what's the point? The point is this. If you, with all the knowledge you have, and you grew up in church, and you have all the tools at your disposal, if you will not obey God and follow God, God will replace you, and you'll find yourself standing in the back of the line, and people you thought would never get it, people you thought were, they grew up on the bad side of town, they'll be standing in the front of the line. It's the grace of God. And my heart's desire is to obey God, to be that person of a different spirit, to follow him wholeheartedly, to finish well. Did you know that Caleb's daughter, she continued to inherit the land? She had her claim, because I don't want just to finish well for myself. I want my children, my grandchildren, until Christ returns, to also finish well.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Even in his old age, Caleb had the resolve to take the promised land because he knew that God was on his side. When we understand that God fights for us, it gives us the resolve to step out in faith, to stop being a fearmonger and start being a faith builder, and to trust him to guide our steps. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shah's blog at abadanshah.com.